Roland Boissonneau never set out to write a book that would challenge institutions, stir up controversy, or reopen old wounds. He just wanted to tell the truth. "I didn't write this to point fingers," he said. "I wrote it because I needed people to understand what really happened, and what got left out." Boissonneau's newly published book, Extinction of the Nipissing Tribe, is the result of decades of painstaking genealogical research, quiet moments in parish offices, and long drives to forgotten cemeteries. What began as a hobby, tracing family lines and helping others find theirs, slowly transformed into a mission. "I started doing genealogical research over 40 years ago," he said. "Mostly to help people figure out where they came from." Back then, privacy laws were looser. Boissonneau made the most of the access he had. "I went to Bonfield, Asterville, Corbeil. I photocopied all the church records," he said. His wife Louise laughed, remembering the effort. One summer he went to Quebec for 2 weeks and did every cemetery he could find. He came back with stacks of papers. That early digging revealed more than names and dates. Boissonneau began to see patterns, stories that contradicted official narratives. Over time, the research took on a life of its own. It wasn't just about names on headstones anymore. It was about history that had been buried or ignored. "I started to see how certain stories were missing completely," he said. "Especially stories about the Nipissing." That realization became the seed of the book. He found accounts in unlikely places, a Jesuit missionary's notes on how Nipissing chiefs were traditionally selected, letters from government departments, court documents, and old church registries. "I wasn't working toward a book at first," he said. "I was just following the threads. But once I started connecting everything, I knew I had to write it all down." The writing took years, not because of the volume of research, but because of the gravity of what he was uncovering. "I realized that if I didn't write this, maybe nobody would," he said. "And then those stories would be gone." In Extinction of the Nipissing Tribe, Boissonneau recounts a timeline, while challenging dominant narratives, particularly around how Indigenous identity has been documented, denied, or erased. "History has often been told in a way that erases Indigenous ancestry," he said. "I wanted to bring that back. I wanted to bring people back into their own story." He wrote late at night, poring over documents, letters, and ancestral records, sometimes feeling more like a detective than a writer. "There were nights I thought, why am I doing this? But then I'd come across something, a record, a name, a detail, and I knew I had to keep going." 3 years ago, Boissonneau co-founded the North Bay French River Algonquins, a group formed in response to changes in the membership criteria of the Algonquins of Ontario, AOO. They changed the rules in a way that disqualified a lot of people from claiming Indigenous status, and these were people with legitimate Indigenous ancestry, he said. "That goes against Section 35 of the Constitution Act and even international standards which Canada is supposed to be following." Boissonneau argues that under Canadian constitutional law, anyone who can trace their Indigenous roots before European contact should qualify. "But the AOO didn't consult communities before changing the criteria," he said. "They just did it." His organization now supports those excluded from the AOO's registry. "We're trying to give people back what was taken from them, a sense of belonging, and recognition that's grounded in law, not politics." He doesn't shy away from strong claims. The AOO's own list of approved ancestors includes at least a dozen people who had no Indigenous blood, he alleged. How does that make sense? His advocacy is driven by the same goal as his research, to provoke honest dialogue. "I'm not trying to divide people," he said. "I'm trying to help them understand who they are and where they come from." Boissonneau said one of the driving forces behind the book was a desire to correct historical inaccuracies, especially around policies like those in the Indian Act that stripped Indigenous women of their status if they married non-Indigenous men. "That was the law," he said. "It wasn't until 1982 that the Constitution said women should be treated equally. People don't realize how long that injustice lasted." Louise nodded. That's why this book is important. The laws changed, but the damage was done. And it's still not fully understood. The book also dives into the ancestry of well-known regional families. When asked what finally motivated him to publish the book after years of research, his answer was simple. I wanted people to know the truth. Louise added, two people who bought the book on Amazon left comments that said exactly that, finally, we know what really happened. That made it worth it. For Boissonneau, the project was never about praise or profit. It was about legacy, his, and the one that belongs to so many others whose stories were never written down. The book, which begins with the birth of Lake Nipissing, is footnoted extensively, with many of those notes being taken down by hand and by using Ancestry.com. I'm not computer savvy, Boissonneau admitted, but I learned. At first I thought, you're going to help me, indicating to Louise, and she said no, that's your baby. Louise said he wrote it all out by hand first. Then he typed it out, over 300 pages, with one finger. It probably took me about 2.5 to 3 years, Boissonneau said. I had it all in my mind. I had written notes and everything. But the process of typing it up and reviewing everything again. Add things. Delete what didn't fit, and Louise designed the cover, too. Louise nodded. I said, you need something that's going to catch people's attention. I based it on the style of James Lumbers, you know, the shadowy kind of artwork. It's a shadow of the Nipissing people, and it worked, she said. It was a project born from frustration, yes, but also deep conviction. The stories within the book reflect not just the past, but a present shaped by misunderstanding and misrepresentation. Throughout the research, Boissonneau kept returning to the same principle. What's written in official records doesn't always match what's been handed down, or left out. The distinction between Nipissing and Chippewa ancestry, for example, runs deeper than language. I checked out the 1911 census, Nipissing First Nation, he said. None identified themselves to belong to the Nipissing. Many of them identified as a Chippewa. Those kinds of discrepancies matter to Boissonneau. They go to the heart of identity, governance, and the lingering legacies of colonial administration. And he's not afraid of pushback. I don't care if somebody's pissed at me. This is the truth, and this is the proof, he said. Now that the book is out in the world, Boissonneau stands by every word. He knows the implications of what he's documented, from harvesting rights to the naming of places like Marathon Beach. But he's unwavering. There's not enough people that know their history, Louise admitted. I was one of them, but now, I've heard more, and it's our history. That's what it is. And for Boissonneau, that history was always too important to leave unwritten. Boissonneau's book is available on Amazon. Boissonneau will also be at the North Bay Public Library on Saturday, May 31st from 1 to 3 p.m. so people can purchase the book in person and meet the author. If you have a story idea for the Rooted series, send Matt an email at m.sukram@outlook.com.